for leading us in worship. I certainly appreciate it. I hope you have your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 6 today as we continue and finish up this letter to Ephesians. Let me say first off, as one of my professors used to say, the first rattle out of the box, let me say thank you for persevering through another teaching through Ephesians. And on top of that, let me say thank you for being patient to sit under expository preaching. This is something that maybe, 9 years, those of you who are members here, you've been sitting under this type of preaching, and I want to commend you for it. It's not something that everybody practices. I'm sold on it. I think that we ought to be preaching verse by verse through the Bible. By the way, I might add that last night as I was in my study, I added up the books and letters that we've studied together. In 9 years, we've covered 38 books of the Bible. And that means we've done that verse by verse, paragraph by paragraph, sometimes when I get a little nuts, word by word. But I commend you for being able to listen, to discipline yourself, to listen and to listen critically to the Word of God. I promise you, you will be better for it. And you'll be better in the day that the enemy shows up. Because you've walked through the text, you've walked through Scripture. I've not given you my ideas. I've not sat at home and tried to come up with my ideas or stand in the pulpit and just come with not prepared at all and say, well, I just thought I'd let the Spirit lead. I want to tell you that the Spirit has led all week long. And I've been in the study and I've prepared and I think we're ready to now tackle this last section of Paul's letter. If you are a Christian and you are living for Christ, be ready. Stay alert because the enemy is not far away. Not far away at all. I read verse 10 all the way. I went back to verse 10, although I'm only going to preach from verse 16 on. If you need a Bible, please take one in the pew in front of you. It's a white hardbound book. Everybody be great if you had a Bible in front of you so that you can follow along and see the words. They'll differ a little bit. It's a Holman Christian Standard Bible that's in the pew. This one is that I preach from is English Standard ESV. But either way, just have the Word of God in front of you. That's how you'll learn. That's how you'll grow. That's how you'll be ready to ward off the unseen enemy when he comes. On August the 20th in 1944, the SS Richard Montgomery, carrying huge amounts of explosives that were meant to be used in World War II, ran aground on a sandbank just outside the coast of England. Rumor has it the captain fell asleep. And today, to this very day, the wreckage of the SS Montgomery remains in place. There it is. I found you a picture of it. It's lying in shallow water, and the mast of the ship can still be seen above the water. Now, there are buoys that are floating all around that have warning signs all over the buoy. Stay away. Unexploded ammunition on board. And notice the sign that's tacked or nailed to the mast of the ship. It also reads, danger, unexploded ammunition. Well, it led me to believe how disheartening it is to think of how many even local church members have unexploded ammunition, spiritual ammunition, that's within them that's never even been used on the enemy. Do you know, Barna has been busy again. This time, another research that they made among Christian people, right? And the Family Research Council, if you want to look this up, the Family Research Council has now posted it on their website. And here's what they found. 1/3 or 32% of Christians claim professing Christians today say that they have neither attended church nor watched a sermon online during COVID-19. Now, I'm okay with the first one because I don't want to push you back if you're not ready to come back. But woe to the brother or sister who does not even engage in a sermon or some sort of spiritual instruction from the Bible during this mess. You are easy prey for the lion, as Peter describes him, who is prowling around your residence even right now. Don't be easy prey. Our adversary devours sleepy Christians. So keep alert and find strength in the Lord. That's what Paul seems to say in one compact sentence, that our enemy devours sleepy Christians. So wake up or keep alert and find strength in the Lord. Now last week what I described for you, I thought it was okay, that what I think Paul's doing in verses 10 all the way to the end of chapter 6 is kind of issuing out, if we will, a field guide. So just picture yourself as a soldier, and you're there to receive all of the instructions that you need for the upcoming battle. You're being briefed, and in that brief, you're given a field guide. Now, in that field guide, there are these very contents that you find in chapter 6, verses 10 through the end. And inside that field guide, when you open it up, you're going to find ways that you're able to defeat and to resist your unseen enemy. Now, he's numerous, is he not? He is very sophisticated. We'll talk in just a moment that his playbook hasn't changed in 4,000 years. He runs the same old plays. And so our responsibility is to stay spiritually alert to his sophisticated methods. Paul says that we should watch out for his schemes. He uses the word, the Greek word, methodia, where you get your English word, methods. That the enemy is using methods, and I'm here to say that they're the same old used methods since the Garden of Eden. The same old methods. There's nothing new, only we have changed. And over the course of the years, he's observed us, and now he's going to use these same kind of methods, but just in different ways to appeal to 21st century, sometimes even progressive Christians. Well, inside the field guide, notice what we find are six virtues. What you know as the armor of God. I would say be cautious and not focus so much on the armor as you do the virtue. The virtue is what's going to get you through. The armor is just a metaphor. It's just a metaphor. It helps you understand the breastplate and a sword, sandals for your feet. And those are just metaphors to help us. But focus on the virtues. When you get yourself in a bind and you find yourself cornered by your unseen enemy, you're not going to be able to grab a shield, but you will be able to grab faith. You can trust in the peace that you have. You know the gospel, and so share it with people who are watching you suffer and tell them what great joy it is to do it for your King. Because he suffered and so you will too. You have followed after Christ, and with following Christ comes battling Christ's enemy. It comes with the territory. It's just something you need to expect. And it comes in all sorts of ways. Some of you are in the midst of one right now. I don't know. I'm not thinking of anybody personally, so don't send an email and say I was picking on you from the pulpit. I have nobody in mind. But some of you are right in the middle of it right now. And if you ever watched one of those UFC fighters, sometimes all you can do is just cover up, right? While your enemy just pounds away. Well, listen to this. Jesus made it clear that the enemy can do all he wants to our body, but he cannot touch our soul. So you stand there and you resist him. And sometimes don't feel as though you're being defeated just because you're covering up and he's pounding away. It's okay. It comes with the territory. We've covered up many a time and stood our ground against him. In the middle of seminary is one of the hardest things that we've ever done before. And we've watched the enemy attack our family in ways that we never expected. And we just covered up and got through it for 4.5 years. And the Lord's grace was good and he brought us through it. And my son's all better for it. And so, yeah, it's a tough time. Some of you are in the middle of it and you're just covering up. Some of you need to be alert right now because things are going just great. I mean, you can't even blink an eye at anything that's going on. I mean, things are just smooth sailing, man. Maybe you just got a promotion at work. I don't know. Maybe you're celebrating some things in the family. It just couldn't be better. Well, that's wonderful, and enjoy it. But also take Paul's words and be alert. Because usually when you are at your highest is when he's observing you the closest. And he's watching for pride, for boastfulness. Look what we've done. Look what I did. And he'll use it. Some of you are coming out of one, and you're just healing from it. And God's going to provide, I hope, some instruction for you today in these last three virtues that you're going to be able to find that will get you through it. So praise God for all seasons of the Christian life. Isn't it fun to be a Christian? Huh? So here we go. These last three virtues, we covered last week truth and righteousness and peace. And today we cover faith, salvation, and the Word of God. Those are the virtues I want you to keep in mind. Not so much the armor, just remember the virtues, faith, salvation, and the Word of God. So as we open these field guides, per se, to spiritual war, we notice there are two instructions that come from the Apostle Paul that will guarantee our victory. And I've put them in your bulletin for you. The first one is continuously empower yourself with the full armor of God. Now, the verb tenses in this text tell us that we put it on and we keep it on. And that you keep on trusting in the strength of God, not your own. So it's not something you put on when you first become a Christian. So Noah has put on the righteousness of Christ. He's a brand new believer. But he's going to keep putting it on week after week, day after day, hour after hour. That's the kind of thing that Paul has in mind here. Not just when you're in the middle of the battle or just getting ready to go into one. That you're constantly keeping these virtues about you. Now, verses 16 and 17 is where I am. Continuously empower yourself with the full armor of God. Now, watch what he says. He says, in every circumstance, be sure that you use faith as your shield against the evil one. Back in verse 11, notice what he says in verse 11. Paul calls the opponent that we have the devil. He has malicious minions that are ready for dispatch. I went through that a minute ago. They are rulers. They are authorities, cosmic powers, spiritual forces. And the reality of wicked powers is actually sewn into the very fabric of who Paul is. So Paul understands this is just part of the Christian life. He mentions spiritual warfare in every one of his letters except for one, Philemon. So in 12 letters, 12 out of 13, Paul is clear to tell us that we need to be ready for these wicked powers who are unseen. So for Paul, to be in Christ is to be in a war. When you became a friend of Christ, you became an enemy of Christ's enemy, who is the devil. And I think you ought to be struggling with your flesh. You say, what kind of struggle am I supposed to be in? I think you ought to be struggling with your own self. That's my biggest problem. What about you? Oh, y'all got it made, huh? What about you? I'm my biggest problem. I don't want to give the devil more credit than he needs. I'm trouble enough on my own. To keep myself disciplined in the Word of God. To keep myself disciplined in prayer. To keep myself watching after the flock that God has entrusted to me. I'm lazy at the core. All of us are. We're bent towards laziness. We're bent towards evil. And so we're constantly fighting off our old self. Having a little trouble putting off that old tongue of yours. Having a little trouble getting rid of that anger that you seem to have when everything doesn't go your way. Having a little trouble at these outbursts that you have when somebody bumps you the wrong way. Well, those are things that you ought to be struggling with. And I'll say it again, struggle for the Christian is a good thing. Don't be discouraged if you're struggling. It shows that you're wanting to be more like Christ. So you ought to be struggling with your flesh. You ought to be wrestling with the world that you live in. You ought to be wrestling with the temptations that the world throws your way. You ought to be struggling with those things. You ought to be wrestling with them. And you ought to be alert because your adversary, friends, is on the move. Now notice what he says first, that we're to take faith. We're to take faith as our shield because faith protects you and faith sustains you. It's going to be all you have when the enemy comes. All you have. And so make sure that you have faith. Make sure today, as you've witnessed a baptism, that you understand if a 10-year-old boy gets it, you ought to get it. You ought to be able to understand what faith is. It's not some mere traditionalism that you show up every Sunday morning at 10:45 or at 9:30 to your class and you just go through some kind of customs and motions. No, it's a faith is something that's happened to you at a distinguished moment in your life that you've hopefully marked down somewhere, whether it's just the month or the year, maybe not the day, but you remember at that particular time you trusted in Christ. You remember what Isaiah did? You say, well, I'm having a little trouble remembering that time. You remember what happened to Isaiah when he saw the Lord high and lifted up? What were the words out of Isaiah's mouth? Woe is me. I am lost. You can't have an encounter with a holy and awesome God without coming into the very focus, the self-focus of who you are in His sight. A real encounter, a real faithful encounter with the living God results in some sort of humility on your part. Do you remember a time like that? Do you remember a time where you were convicted of your sin? You heard the gospel that you were lost and you had offended God and broken every one of His laws. But God demonstrated His love for you even while you were a rebel and running as fast as you can from Him. He intervened and stopped and sent His Son into your life to show you how much He loved you. And at that moment, hopefully you realized, man, I am lost and I need to be rescued. And God has sent me my rescuer. And His name is Jesus Christ. Do you remember a time where you turned and gave your life to Christ for the first time with understanding? At the end of the funeral yesterday, I prayed that very prayer. And I said to the people that were here, do you remember a time in your life where you gave your life to Christ so that when you close your eyes for the last time, you know that you will open them in glory? And I ask everybody, at a funeral, I am pugnacious, aren't I? I said, at a funeral, I want everybody to close your eyes and bow your heads. And I want you to pray. And I'm going to help you. And I prayed a very simple prayer that someone in the audience would give their life to Christ. There was not one who did it, meaning everybody there was a believer. And it was a joyous time yesterday, a joyous time of celebration as we looked to Isaiah and what he saw when he saw the Lord high and lifted up on His throne. Faith is all you got. When the enemy comes, Paul says, I want you to take the shield of faith. In Paul's day, perhaps he's looking over at a Roman soldier who had a shield just like that. It was 4 feet tall and almost 3 feet wide. Do you get that? It wasn't some little Captain America shield. This was a full body shield. I mean, it encompassed the whole body of the soldier. Do you get the point why Paul would say that? Because your faith is what surrounds you and encompasses all of you, your mind, all the way down to the soles of your feet. It will sustain you, Paul says. And so wrap yourself up in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. True faith surrounds you. It wrapped around the soldier. And Paul is saying, that's what I want faith to do. I want it to surround you. Here's what Phillips' translation says. A little more graphic. It can quench every burning missile that the enemy hurls at you. You ought to have a Phillips translation on the side of your desk at home to read different translations of what the Scripture says. Paul's clear to say in Phillips' translation, this shield will quench every burning missile that the enemy hurls at you. Doesn't sound like a real kind of rose petal kind of life, does it? Has it been a rose petal life, George? I'm going to tell you, to walk in the shoes of Christ is a life of surrender. And it's a life of faith. And Paul says there are a couple of more virtues that you need to have. Notice that he moves now over to salvation and the Word of God. I think they go hand in hand. Look with me, at your Bible. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which will extinguish all the missiles, as what Philip says. And then 17, now what? Now take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. I think they go hand in hand. I think he's mentioning these together. A first century enemy would have come right at you. A first century enemy would have come right at you, and he would have done everything. He would have had clubs and a sword in his hand, and he would have been going after your head, man, going after the body. And so Paul says, now look, now just cover up. Cover up with the shield and get your head ready. Protect your head. You need to remember who you are. Protect your head and know how to keep your enemy at bay. Let me say this. You used to be the enemy's prize trophy. Do you know that? That's who you used to be. You were his. You were in his camp, and he loved it. And now he's suffered a loss. You heard the gospel, which infiltrated his camp. It humbled you. You resisted your pride, and you came over to God's side, didn't you? And so here Paul's saying, now look, be careful, because he wants you back in his camp. How are you going to resist him? You need to put the helmet on to remember, protect your salvation. Remember who you are in Christ. Think about this. If you lost a good friend over to some other religion, how would you get him back? You don't have to answer me, but think about it. How would you get somebody back? Let's say a family member moves over and becomes a Muslim. Well, how would you get them back? I tell you how you'd get them back. Perhaps, yeah, praise is a good thing to do, of course. But what about persuasion? Persuade them. This is what the enemy does. The story goes that old Pete was in court one day, and he was a defendant, and Pete stood up in the middle of the court and walked up to the judge and said, Judge, whoa, just a minute. I want to change my verdict here. He said, I want to change my verdict. I think I'm guilty, not innocent. The judge slammed his fist against the desk and said, Pete, come on, man. You've wasted so much time and energy and all this expense, and now you want to tell us that you're guilty. He said, well, Judge, Your Honor, sir, I thought I was innocent, but after I've listened to all this evidence against me, I think I'm guilty. Ever had the devil whisper in your ear? Ever had him say, remember that? You can't be the real thing. Remember that guilt and shame? Christ didn't get rid of all of that. You're still carrying it with you. And before you know it, you're back in his camp, throwing down a few cold ones in his backyard, celebrating again. Resist him. Stand against him. Know who you are in Christ with the helmet of salvation. And use the sword of the Spirit. Use the Word of God. Can you defend yourself with the Word of God? Do you know enough Scripture that you can stand against your enemy when he comes with all of his power? In Matthew 4, Jesus models for us how we're to do it. He is Scripture. He is the Word of God. And if you're a follower of Christ, surely you want to do what He did. You're not the incarnate Word of God, but you are a little Christ. You are His follower. Do you know enough of His sayings to get you through? Do you know what He did to get rid of to resist the enemy? He quoted Scripture back to him. Use the Word of God. Be ready. Be alert. Resist Him. It's in those moments of weakness that you've got to be groomed for hand-to-hand combat. And that's what this sword and this helmet were for. They were used for close combat. And you soldiers know that any Gomer Pyle can take a large sword and just mow people down with it. That was called the rhomphi in Greek. Go grab the rhomphi. You just lugged this thing out on the battlefield. And it was not for real close combat. You just mowed people down with that sword. Anybody can use that thing. Paul says this sword is the Machaira. It's a short sword. And you've got to be skilled in close combat. That's where the enemy's going to come. Right at your address. Right inside your home. Right inside your head. And Paul says, be ready to use this sword here, the Machaira, and defend yourself close. Follow after Christ. Learn from Him. Eat, inhale the Word of God. Feast on it. And meditate on it. For Paul, salvation is a very present reality. It's not just some reward in the future. So he is keenly aware of how disciplined a Christian must be in working out his own salvation. Pause a moment. Do you think that's how you are saved, that you're working it out? You better believe it. Day by day, we're working it out. Do you live with an awareness that salvation is an ongoing work of God and that you are deeply involved with God in it? If you don't believe that, you need to believe it. You have responsibilities. The Bible seems to indicate that your spiritual enemy has a very sophisticated, organized ranking of wicked soldiers who are ready to attack. Far too many church members aren't soldiers anymore. They've lost their awareness that an airstrike could happen at any moment. Remember when Satan came to God and he asked a little favor? Remember this? And he came to God and said, just give me Job. Just give him to me for a little while. And what did he test? He tested Job's devotion. Sophisticated, isn't he? He's smart. You will not outsmart him. You do not have the power on your own to resist him. This is why Paul says, stand and stand firm in the Lord. And he comes against you strong. His logic is impeccable. He still does this to the 21st century Christian. He is after your devotion to God. Your devotion to Him. And he's using a playbook that's 4,000 years old. God's glory, friends, is on the battlefield when you battle Him. If you persevere and resist Him, God gets the glory. If you don't, so advance into His territory, because He devours sleepy Christians. Watch where active members of the police department and military sit when they go into a restaurant. Watch where they sit. Do they sit out in the open? They sit with their backs against the wall so that they can see what's coming. They're alert. We ought to watch and learn from them. John Murray came to be regarded as one of the most significant theologians of his generation. His father was Alexander Murray. His father was an impeccable Christian, incredible, and left a long-lasting influence on his son John. One day they asked John about his dad, Alexander. Here's what he said. To be his son is a great privilege, but it's also a tremendous responsibility. You are God's son and God's daughter. You have a tremendous responsibility for God's glory and for His honor to resist God's enemy. God's honor is on the line, friends. So stand against him. Don't let him run over you. I need to hurry and I need to finish. Here we go. So continuously empower yourselves with the full armor of God. There's one more instruction and I'm finished. I wanted to give you a little bit of time. I went over last week and I felt like I owe you some time. And so I'm just trying to move on and give you that time back. Look at 18 through 20. 18 through 20 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, what does he say? Keep alert. With all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Friends, we're better together. We're stronger together. Although we're scattered right now, we're still stronger and better together. So he says, perseverance and making supplication for all the saints. And also, I just love that, and also for me. Don't forget me, Paul says. I'm here in prison in Rome. Don't forget me. That words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, so that I can declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Now, watch what Paul's doing. As we close, watch what Paul... He ends his letter this way. In everything you do, brothers and sisters in Christ, in everything that you do, pray in the Spirit. Everything, the prayer undergirds everything that you do. Do you see what Paul's doing here? This is important for you to get. Don't let me lose you. Keep spiritually alert to the prowess of our supreme opponent. How do you do that? You pray. Now, I don't know. You be honest. I can fall asleep like that when I pray. Can y'all? Okay, Ken's with me. Y'all are pious people today. Look, it just takes me 5 minutes. And if I close my eyes at my study, in my study, I'm tired. I go to sleep. So I got a little smart. I told you to study your weaknesses. I got smart over the years. I'm not going to pray with my eyes closed. I'm not going to pray with my eyes closed. I'm praying with them open, number one. And secondly, I've decided now I'm using books of prayer from the great saints of old. You want to know how to pray against the enemy? You're at a loss for words. You fall asleep easily when you pray. Well, let me tell you, you can stay alert with these books. I use them all the time. There are morning and evening prayers. It's not Spurgeon's. It's called a Diary of Private Prayer by John Bailey. Old Puritan guy who uses some great prayers. Wish I had time to read some. Every Wednesday night, if you're missing Bible study on Wednesday night, we begin with a prayer from the Valley of Vision. The Valley of Vision. Old Puritan's prayers in the Old English, if you like the Old English. I'm kind of a contemporary guy. I like the words that I can better understand. So I got this one called Piercing Heaven, Prayers of the Puritans. Now, I use these books, and so can you. There's nothing in the Bible that says we can't use a little help along the way to pray. You want to stay spiritually alert? Paul says this is what you're supposed to do. It only makes sense that if he says in 5:18, be filled with the Spirit, that in 6:18 he says, praying in the Spirit. How about that? So be filled with the Spirit, 5:18, 6:18. See how easy this is to remember? In 6:18, you pray in the Spirit. Now, Paul's not promoting some sort of secret code language that you pray in. I'm just being honest, and I'm not being ugly. I've been around it, and I know what it sounds like for people to take that out of context and say that it's a code language of prayer. And who does that edify? And so what I'm saying is that there Paul is speaking about a language that all of us know, and that is to pray in the Spirit. What do you mean? Be guided by the Holy Spirit. You're full of Him in 5:18. Now be guided by His wisdom. Praying in it, look what he says, praying in the Spirit. So Peter says, in another way, Peter says, be watchful. Be watchful. And then he gives us some of the ways that the enemy works. He even tells us that he roars, doesn't he? Ever roared at you? And that he devours. And that he is seeking. So Peter's even more clear and tells us these are the ways that the enemy works. And if that's you, you'll know it. There's no mistaking spiritual warfare, is there? There's no mistaking it. You'll know it if you're practicing the disciplines of the Christian life. You will know it when you get into spiritual warfare. Some of you say, I just don't get all this stuff today. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, try to apply one of the spiritual disciplines. Today, when you go home, you want to know what it's like? Try fasting a couple of meals this week. And in those hours, pray and read Scripture. And then keep alert. What other spiritual discipline? Some of you aren't tithing. Some of you aren't giving what belongs to God. You're not under spiritual warfare. There's no sacrifice in that. You're just robbing God. You're keeping it all. Try tithing. Try giving to God regularly. And then watch. And then watch. And then be alert. Try praying in the Spirit during your lunch hour. Skip over your lunch. Leave it in the refrigerator and go out to the car. Turn it on and sit in the AC and just pray in the Spirit under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Watch what a difference it makes in your life. And then watch and be alert. That's how you know. That's how the devil works. I believe the weakest link in a rural church is when sacred things become common things. I prayed under the guidance of the Spirit. That's what he said, tell you. That the weakest link we have in a country church is that the stuff we do every week just becomes common. That there's no more tears. There's no more brokenness at the altar because you're scared what somebody might put on Facebook because you walked up to the altar and prayed. There's no more courage anymore. Where is it? Don't be prideful. It's our weakest link in the country that sacred things become common things. I love how the letter ends, don't you? At the P.S., it's almost like a P.S. He says, would you remember to pray for me? Would you remember to pray for me? Now watch how Paul does it. Does Paul say, it's a little uncomfortable here in the prison. Would you pray for me? Does he say that? Do you know where Paul was in a prison? Hewn out of the rock. They hewned cells out of the rock. A real steep mountain, and they just cut holes in it, and they put prisoners in there and closed them up. And historians say that they did that all the way down the side of a mountain. And the guys that were on the bottom, that was bad news. And they say that's where Paul was, on the bottom. Does Paul say, pray for me that someone would rescue me? It's a little uncomfortable in here today. Could you have them adjust the thermostat a tad? Does he say, I've just had it. I think I'm sick and I just need some prayer. He doesn't say any of that. What's he say? This is a radical ending. He says, pray that I would speak about Jesus more boldly. Incredible. There it is. It's right there. Pray for me, he says, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. I'm an ambassador in chains, he says, and I should go and declare it boldly. As the return of Christ gets closer and closer, the trouble for us is going to gain intensity, friends. It's going to gain in intensity. Look across the world. Resist the enemy. Stand in God's truth. Put on Christ Jesus. Be ready to share the gospel, to be faithful, to use the word of God, and to pray. And then you'll resist him. If you travel to Muir Park, it's a place out in San Francisco, California. We've been there before and we've seen it close up. These trees right here, they're the giant sequoias. They are the world's largest trees. They average in height 280 feet, 26 feet in diameter. Some are as old as 1,000 years. I've stood next to one. It's incredible. Now imagine you were able to speak to one of those trees and said, how in the world is it that you're able to withstand all of the torrential rains and the winds and even the seismic earthquakes that are here? And you might think they would respond by saying, the deep root system that we have. That's how we do it. But notice the root system. The root system of a giant sequoia tree is 3 feet deep. What's the secret? Interlocking roots with the other trees close by. Here's my point. Would you stand with me? Stand with me. Now, we're doing this COVID thing, so under normal circumstances, I'd have you lock arms. But we can't do that. We want to be smart. But I want you to get the picture of what Paul's trying to say. That you, brothers and sisters, are stronger together. Now look around and just pick somebody. Don't even say a name, just look around. I want everybody to look around and just pick one person. If you know them by name, praise God. If not, pray for the lady in the red shirt. Whatever, however you want to do it. But I want you to just get one person in mind today. And we're going to do what Paul says. We're going to stand. We're standing together and we're going to stand against the enemy because we're better together. We are stronger together. Now, we're going to get past this COVID thing, aren't we? And it's going to pass. We're going to move right on past it, and we're going to look back and say, well, we were better people for it. We should have been doing that kind of stuff a long time ago, right? So we're going to be better people for it. It's going to pass. And I want to say to those of you that are right in the middle of a trouble from the devil right now, and you're just covering up, I want to say to you, be encouraged, it's going to pass too. And what I see in Scripture, the time of blessing is much longer than the time of suffering. I just see it all across Scripture, so you be encouraged too. Let's pray together. Together, Father, we come and we look to Paul's words, who he instructs us to pray in the Spirit and to pray for each other. We've looked around, we've got a person in mind, and right now we're going to lift that person up to you. And we don't know what they're going through. Maybe everything is just fine and dandy, but we're not going to let up in prayer for them this week. We pray, Father, that you would make their life different as a result of what we're praying for them, that you would be the one who makes a difference, and that you would be the one who gets the glory at the end of the day. But we're going to be faithful to do what Scripture tells us to do, and we're going to pray for each other today. We're going to pray for each other all week long. And I pray, God, that you make a difference in their life, that they would be encouraged. I can think of one right now who has cancer surgery this coming week, and they need your prayer. I think of another one right now. Just in my mind, there's someone here having back surgery in a couple of days, and I know it. I mean, it's not something I'm imagining. They do have it. I want you to pray for them. They have surgery this week. Back surgery, cancer surgery. There are a lot of people going through a lot of stuff right now. And Father, we lift them up to you, and we pray that you make them stronger as a result of it. Break us, God. Make us pray. Make us pray. Make us be soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to stand firm against our enemy, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to sing one last song here. The altar is open. We've not closed it. If you want to come and pray, keep your distance from one another, and you pray to the Lord, I'll be here to help if you want me to. Let's sing together.
Seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each today, He will make a way. He will make a way. God will make a way where there seems.